Thank y'all for what is a truly wonderful song, a beautiful song. Did anyone notice that as your preacher was praying the pastoral prayer that there were lights that were flashing in the sanctuary and there was a loud boom? Did anyone notice how quickly your preacher left the pulpit when that started happening? Because I did. I moved out of the way. I would like to say... And I will say this, that I moved away, that I got out of the way, and that is because of some training. That is because of some training that the sound tech, that the tech nest has done here at Grace Point that has helped me to understand, don't go fidgeting with stuff or trying to change stuff yourself. Just get out of the way and let us fix it. That is a direct quote, I can tell you, and it's memorized. And so that's one of the things I've learned. But you see what happened? What happened is that as that happened, the lights that were flashing, and then the loud boom and everything, they were able to quickly recover. We were able to gather and worship to hear a wonderful worship song. And so that was what was able to happen right then. We're under a wind advisory. There could be winds that's blowing around and everything like that. That's happening. It reminded me, I was serving a church one time, and there was a man that was in that church like that, and we were talking about the electricity, we were talking about the power, and he said, well, you know, where I live, we have TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority. He said, we've got Tennessee Valley Authority power like that. He said, if a dog walks in front of my house, my power lines are going to flicker. That might have just gotten our broadcast ended on Facebook. But I am glad. I'm glad that y'all did a wonderful job. And thank y'all, everybody that's in the tech nest this morning, because they really did. They just made sure that we were on track. We are in a season now that is called the season of Lent. What happened on Wednesday night, we came here into this space, and our worship team that was here this morning, they were leading us on Wednesday night, and we came and we took these palm ashes that had been burned, and we took these palm ashes, and we smashed them, I smashed them on my thumb, and then invited people to come down and to receive these palm ashes on their forehead, and with that wonderful reminder that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. From Wednesday, what we have done is we started counting down in the church. We are in a season that is called Lent. You will notice that there is purple. You'll notice that also there are some less shiny items and objects that are around the worship space. Some of those things that you see that usually shine, because this is a season that we are moving closer and closer to Easter Sunday. And as we are counting down that time, and as we move from Ash Wednesday into the season of Lent, as we are moving closer and closer to Easter, you will find that people may begin fasting more than they would often in times that are outside of this season preparing for Easter. You'll find that people may spend more time reading their Bibles. You will find that people may spend more time in prayer. There may be other ways of fasting, or else taking on new projects that will draw them closer into a life with God. I am doing those same things. I'm doing those things myself. And so in my time from Wednesday evening and the time from this morning, in my own prayer and in my own devotionals and my own striving to do, well, what Christians have done for a couple thousand years now, to keep Lent holy, to make it holy. What I plan to preach during this season of Lent, I've put that aside. And so what you have now is a new series that I want us to work through together, starting this morning and continuing through Palm Sunday. 40 days to what matters most. This is one of those things I'm doing. In fact, that slide that you're seeing was given to the tech nest this morning. So again, they are well equipped, and you should thank them, and I certainly do thank them. But the story that I was sharing with Elijah this morning, the story that comes from 1 Samuel, that's what I want us to focus on this morning. And it is 1 Samuel. We're going to start in chapter 3. This is that story of Samuel, who is a boy, and Eli, who is a priest, that is in the temple of God, the temple of the Lord. And so 1 Samuel chapter chapter 3, starting at verse 1, continuing through verse 10. I'm reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. This is the updated edition of that version, but you can follow along with the NRSV or else your favorite version too. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. And then in verse 2, at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel, Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." Ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel got up. And he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." And now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. And then in verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. And therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went in and he lay down in his place. And now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you. We thank you for the many times, oh God, that you watch over us, the many times that you keep us safe. We thank you, oh God, for the people that you surround us with, the people that are able, oh God, to do far much than we could ever imagine. And I thank you, oh God, for the people that are dedicated in this space to make sure, oh God, that as we worship together, to make sure we are able to do our very best, that we are able to follow, oh God, your Holy Spirit. And as you have spoken these words in our midst, Lord, we pray and ask that our hearts may be open before you. We pray, oh God, that you will not let us be afraid to let you, oh God, come into our lives, to change us, to transform us. And I thank you, oh God, for the direction that you set in these scriptures and in my life. I pray and ask, oh God, that as I've prepared, that your blessings will be upon the words that I'm going to share in this moment. May they be pleasing to you. May they be acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Well, as I was sharing with Elijah in the children's moment this morning, I will tell you that stories like this, stories where I'm a preacher, so I get nervous about stories where people are falling asleep in church. I don't like that. I mean, I want people to be awake. I want people to be engaged. But I want to make sure that as we come around stories like this, and, you know, this place in Scripture where you can quote chapter and verse, I want to make sure that no one takes this as an endorsement that this is a place for sleeping. However, if you do find yourself falling asleep, if you find yourself asleep in church any time like that, and if you sense that God is calling you, and if you say, "Speak, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening," that is. I'm going to always give you permission to fall asleep like that, because to be able to hear God's voice, that's truly why we're here. That's truly what we do expect. I also want to do this about this story, and I know that I've not had as much time to prepare for it as this, but this story, when I was reading it, and think about our own journeys together in Lent, I do not want you to get distracted. I think it can be really easy to get distracted by Samuel being a boy, Samuel, because that is a reference that comes across extraordinarily clear in this passage. Don't get distracted by Samuel being a boy, because God calls us. God calls us in all ages. God calls us in all stages in our lives. And what is fascinating about the story of Samuel and Eli is that I really think that you get to see this. I think that you get to see that God's calling comes through all ages and all stages in each of our lives. And so don't just think, well, you know, I'm past that. I'm not a boy. I'm not a girl that you know, God does. God continues to call us. Did you notice this? Did you notice that in the opening passage from this Bible story, that in the opening passage from 1 Samuel chapter 3, did you notice this? That the word of the Lord was rare in those days. That's one of those things. I mean, it's one of those things that in the book of Samuel and through the Old Testament, that becomes very clear. Some of you are shaking your head because you did notice that the word of the Lord is rare in those days. Visions were not widespread in places. And at times, when it's rare to hear God's voice, it's not just Samuel that falls asleep, is it? It's not just boys that fall asleep in church when God's word is very rare, but it's, well, there's a tendency. There's a tendency for all of us to fall asleep when that happens because we get bored, don't we? We lose interest, don't we? Well, when we find ourselves going through the same motions week in and week out, when we find ourselves in places where God's word is not coming clear, when God's word is not becoming the forefront of everything that we have done together, you've heard me. I just think to a lot of people. I think to a lot of people that do not get recognition on a week in, week out basis. And so there's a lot of preparation that goes into what we're doing together. But in places and at times when God's word does not become the very center of what we're doing, that's when all of us lose interest. That's when all of us find ourselves losing interest, getting bored, and thinking, why can't I hear God's word? Why isn't God's word coming across crystal clear? And even worse, when God's word begins to be rare, and if you notice this, because not only is the word of God rare in those days, but what was that other thing? Visions. Visions were not widespread. Now, I don't know if you're anything like me, but I know my own time, and that's, you know, when I ask Elijah, and it's a wonderful moment, I said, Elijah, do you know that God knows your name? He looked at me. He gave me a look like, of course God knows my name. I mean, Elijah's been in church. He knows this. He knows that God, this is one of those things we teach children as from a very early age. This is like cradle ministry in the church, that God knows your name, that God knows who you are like that, and not only as children and as babies, but for all of us. Now, when I come across a verse like this, when I come across a verse like visions are not widespread, when I go to a place and say, okay, what is a vision from God? What do we know about God's visions? What do we know about the way that God gives us vision? I go to Proverbs. I don't know if you're like me, but that verse of scripture, it comes from Proverbs that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's really the way that I think about God's vision. So you imagine this as we learn in 1 Samuel, in the third chapter of 1 Samuel, that as we learn this, that there is the word of God is rare in those days. Visions are not widespread. The traditional reading of Proverbs 29:18 is where there is no vision, the people perish. Eugene Peterson, the Message translation, says this. Proverbs 29, verse 18, same verse, different translation. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. You see, all of this back and forth between Eli and Samuel, it's a fun story. Wouldn't you have loved to see some of our children up here this morning acting out this story? Wouldn't you love to have a moment when we could come together and worship and see someone being Eli, someone being Samuel, and going back and forth? But you know, this is what happens. You know the story that they're going back and forth. But in all of this, I didn't call you, go lie down. I didn't call you, go lay down. I didn't call you, go back to sleep. Samuel is at the most holy place in that temple. Did you pick up on that in our reading today? Did you notice that where the Ark of the Covenant was? Now, if you go all the way back in the Hebrew Scriptures, If you go back several thousands of years, it was thought that the presence of God was in the temple because the Ark of the Covenant was there. It was thought that that's where the presence of God resided, that that's where the presence of God was. This is where. This is where the boy Samuel, this is where the boy Samuel was sleeping. This is where he was resting. This is where he was learning everything about what it means to be a minister to the Lord. This is where he was discovering everything about what it means, well, to care for those holy things of God. Those holy things of God that had been entrusted to Eli, that had been entrusted to all those people that came there, and they came to worship. And that proximity to that Ark of the Covenant, even in that moment, Samuel wasn't immediately clear that this is God that is calling him. As close as he was asleep because God's word was rare in those days. And because the vision of what God could do in his life, what God could do in the life of his community, what God could do in the lives of his family and his friends and his neighbors wasn't well known. Until Eli began to perceive something. You know, and this whole passage has these... I've never really played video games all that much. I don't do very well at them. I've been surrounded by people that do play video games. But in video games, there are these, and they get extraordinarily complicated. They get multiplayer. They have all these ways of playing, but they have these hidden items, these hidden things that are in video games that are called Easter eggs. I think that is a phrase that's beginning to live even outside of video games, but it's a really unique concept about an Easter egg in a video game. And the idea is that if you play this video game, if you learn this video game, not only will you be successful and will you be able to win in the video game, but you may find things that other people don't see along the way. And I think it's worth, particularly in moments in our own lives, when it seems that God's word can be rare, and in moments when we do commit ourselves to journey with Jesus over 40 days so that we can do all that we can do to keep a holy Lent and be prepared for Easter, I think it's vital for us over this season of Lent to ask, what are some of those things I may not see? What are some of those things that may be hidden? And if you are a gamer, what are those Easter eggs that are buried there? One of the Easter eggs that emerges is that in the story of 1 Samuel chapter 3, as Eli's eyes are growing weaker, as it's dark in the middle of the night, the lamp of God had not gone out in that space. As rare as God's word was, rare as visions about what God could do in this world, there was a light that was still present around Eli. There was a light that was present around Samuel, but you know what it took? It took someone like Eli who perceived that God's presence may be in this space. Imagine that. Imagine that as everyone else is going through all these normal, ordinary events in their lives, imagine one person perceiving that God is present, one person perceiving what God is doing, and it was Eli that perceived that God was present here and said, this is what you do, Samuel. If you hear the voice again, if you hear God speaking one more time, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That's how visions come back. That's how God's word becomes central and foremost again, is when someone perceives that God is truly moving in this space. And so over this season of Lent, I do invite you to imagine, where is God moving? For you, it may be that God's word has been rare in the past few weeks or the past few months. For you, it may be that you have not been clear about the vision that God has for your life. But what 1 Samuel promises to all of us is that this is the time, this is the moment, and this is the season that God's word can reemerge, this is the moment that even together that we may be able to discern God's vision and to see where God may be calling us next. And so in this moment, let us give up. As Peterson writes again in Proverbs 29:18, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Let us give up our stumbling. And let us make sure that as we are seeking to keep a holy Lent, let us look for God's Word and the presence of God's Word. Because truly, from the presence of God's Word, that will reveal to us God's vision. And let us encourage. Let us encourage those that are even right now perceiving where God is present. Let us encourage those who are perceiving where God's vision is coming to life. Because we spend our lives as human beings. At times like Samuel, we also spend our times just like Eli. And that's why God has called us together here at Grace Point. It's because we need both Eli, we need Samuel. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you. We thank you for the Elis that have been present in our lives, for those that have been able to uncover and been able to share and reveal to us your vision that you have for our world. And we thank you, oh God, for those of us like Samuel who have been able to say yes to your call. And we pray and ask, oh God, that as we look into your word, we thank you, O God, that your word can become central in our lives, that your word can become central in our church. And Lord, as you begin to discern our hearts, as you begin to invite us over this journey through Lent, as we seek to discover what does matter most in our lives, help us, Lord. Help us to understand. Help us to see, O God. Is this a moment that you're calling us? Is this a moment, oh God, that you are uncovering a vision that we may share with others? For we know, oh God, that you are always in control. And over this season, let us not be afraid, oh God, to let you be in complete control of our lives. We pray and we ask this all in the name of God, our Father, our Savior. Amen.